The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Kiefer and Curry here on TKR. Download that TKR app like 100,000 folks have already done. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week. Wherever you get your favorite podcast too, we're available on every major industry out there. Everything from Spotify, iTunes, you name it. You can check out the Kiefer and Curry show. And a show that we talk about sports, we talk about our families, we talk about our sons, and we talk about whatever sounds important to us. And with Veterans Day coming up this Saturday on the 11th, we're recording this show here on November 7th. Want to talk about Veterans Day, and I'm really going to lean on you today because I know you are a historian. You love the military, and I know how patriotic you are, Kip, and you talk about a lot on Need to Know. But July 1st of this past year, 2023, we marked the 50th anniversary of the all-volunteer military service. Of course, we used to have this thing called the draft that ended back in 1973. So I thought from a topical standpoint, it was a perfect opportunity to talk about what this day means, not only to our military and to our veterans in this country, God bless you, but to the people who live in this country and depend on those military to help us retain our freedom. First of all, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
I'm doing great, Tony. It's great to be with you as always. And this is a subject that I'm quite excited and interested to talk about.
Yeah, what are your initial thoughts? Do you have military in your family? When you have Veterans Day, and I know how patriotic and what a great American you are, but what does this day mean to you?
Well, let me tell you a little story about my opinion of Veterans Day. My father's parent, or actually grandparents, came over on the boat in 1909 from Czechoslovakia. There was a lot of discord in that part of the world at that time and a lot of problems. It led to World War One less than 10 years later. But they arrived at Ellis Island and processed, and they came here because they yearned for freedom and they wanted to be part of this booming enterprise called America. And Joseph and Angela Fisher came over and ended up settling in the Washington, D.C. area. He was a carpenter. They had two children, and they actually had their youngest, their newborn son, basically with them. And my grandmother, my dad's mom, was born here in America in 1917, shortly before World War One started. In World War II, their oldest son, Joseph, who had gone to college, they had paid him, paid his way through, sacrificing everything. He had become a young lawyer, had a bright future. When war broke out in Europe, once again, he was born in 1907. So at that time, he was already, old enough where he was not going to be drafted or selected to go to war, but he volunteered to go fight for his country. That's how much they believed in America. And this young man, my great uncle that I never knew, rose to the rank of captain. He fought in a battle, led his troops in a battle and got the directive against the Germans in a battle in Italy on a hillside. They controlled Sicily and a lot of the islands in that area, and the Americans and the forces, the Allied forces, were closing in on those territories. They were holding a key hill, and he was, Ralph Fisher was instructed, Captain Ralph Fisher, to hold the hill at all costs. And he took that quite literally because they stayed there against superior forces. He ended up being killed in the battle after he had basically radioed in for air support and stayed on the hill while telling most of his troops to go ahead and get out of there, get cover, get away, basically sacrificed himself. And every day of my young childhood, my great-grandmother, Angela Fisher, who never really spoke very good English, we would stay at my grandmother's house in Annapolis, Maryland. She had one of those you walked across a big porch and she had a tiny little mother-in-law apartment. And there was a gigantic portrait of Ralph Fisher that I looked at as a child every day in his uniform with his medals strewn all around the base of that on her mantle. And immediately you talk about appreciation, heartbreak for her. Her husband had died. But the bottom line is, was exposed to that from day one. And, you know, I had Ralph Fisher looking down upon me a lot of my childhood, and I've gone back and found even some accounts of his heroics and the things that he did. And you talk about instant appreciation for military. Wow. These people love this country, came here for the life that that they really desired. Living in a great country where freedom reigned, and they understood that freedom isn't free. And Ralph Fisher sacrificed himself for his country, and it's very powerful for me to celebrate every Veterans Day and Memorial Day when it rolls around every May.
That is a fantastic story, and thank you for sharing that. You know, times have changed from a generational standpoint. I remember being in high school, and obviously they would come in, the recruiters would come in, there'd be recruiting day at Lakota High School back in the early 80s, and they would have an entire day to see if they could fool in recruits. And again, we're talking about roughly 8-9 years after the draft ended in 1973, and still to this day, you know, at the age of 18, you must apply. And that is something that is a law in this country. But, you know, back in my day, it was you didn't go into the military unless you had issues. That was just, you know, the problem kids, the kids that were having issues in school were the ones that usually went into the military. And it's unfortunate we looked at it that way, because it really stigmatized, you know, why and how and why most people kids went into the military in the first place. And I guess as you get older, you realize just how many people actually did serve this country. But I do think it's changing quite a bit. And you could obviously make an argument, certainly with the Ukrainian war going on against Russia and Israeli, and the Palestinian war going on right now. It's as chaotic and disruptive as it is that we've had from a wartime standpoint in this world in quite some time. The five Defensive Department service branches, only two met their active duty enlistment recruiting goals for the fiscal year of 2023, and that being the Marines and, of course, the Space Force. Talk a little bit about, from your standpoint, where we are as far as an enlistment, and obviously, in order to be a veteran, you must service this country first. But just talk about a little bit and how we're going about trying to get people enlisted. I do remember, you know, after 9/11, a lot of people wanted to go into the armed forces to do that, and sometimes it takes a horrible situation for people to really find their heart and find their patriotic bones to go and service this country as it's needed. But talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you touched on a very key part of this discussion, and again, a lot of people, especially if younger people are listening, you have to realize, and I know there's knowledge, but let me just put in perspective what Tony just said. Up until 1973, as soon as you registered as an 18-year-old, you were on call, basically, mm-hmm. And could be drafted. No matter what your plans were or what you had going on or what you wanted to do, you were called to serve your company or country. And it was the law for you to show up and enlist and go through boot camp and be dispatched wherever they're going to send you. And, you know, it affected some of the most prominent people in our country. Elvis Presley was just starting his musical career, and he got the call, Elvis, you're going to the Army. And it didn't matter. He was Elvis Presley. He was already selling a bunch of albums. He shipped off to Germany. Of course, that was after World War II, thankfully. And Elvis was basically ceremonial, you know, but still had to serve his couple of years in the military and put his career on hold. Muhammad Ali, of course, one of the most famous, Cassius Clay at the time, heavyweight boxing champion of the world, drafted. Mm-hmm. And of course, he said he had religious objections to to actually being involved in warfare. It's funny, his job was to knock people's blocks off, but he drew the line where it came to shooting people. And Ali mounted a famous case where on religious objection, he didn't want to serve and ended up prevailing after 7 or 8 years, costing him uncalculable fortunes. He didn't get to fight for almost 6 years and lost clearly some of the prime times of his career. The bottom line is you were called to serve your country, and a lot of people, of course, heeded that call. All of the heroics and things by people that I just described in World War II, my great uncle enlisted, and a lot of people did that, and that continues to happen. Of course, you mentioned 9/11. There are so many people that rallied to the cause then, and enlistment was active and very enthusiastic. But on the issue of the stigma of people that go into the military, one of the things that I think is really amazing is I know, and I have several relatives and know some other people that, you know, at a time when they were young and really didn't know what they were going to do and were kind of getting into trouble and not being very productive, a military career has been a real blessing for a lot of them, because it gives you some structure and it gives you some purpose, and you get assigned, you know, to all different parts of the world. But Terry Quillian, my radio partner, and I always talked about on our show that every day in this country should be Veterans Day, because all of us should appreciate the opportunity we have for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because of the sacrifice of these people. And even today, Tony, when you sign up, you don't get to say, you know, I'd prefer to go to Monte Carlo or be stationed in Honolulu. No, that's not the way it works. You might get shipped off to South Korea on the DMZ, or to Somalia, or God knows where. So it's still, even in this era, when you sign up, you are putting yourself in position where they're the entity that's going to determine your future, and you go where they send you, and it's. It's really an interesting commitment, but I hope that more young people and people that are inclined to really do service for their country, because there's so many amazing roles outside of the military part of it, just to be representatives of your nation and be dispatched around the world. So I have great admiration for anybody whoever signs up for service to their country.
Veterans Day coming up this Saturday. We're talking about it here in the Kiefer and Curry Show. Mexico, Austria, Bolivia, Brazil, Denmark, Greece, Israel, just a few of the countries that have mandatory military service. And again, you talked about, you know, Elvis Presley. I can just remember the horde of Major League Baseball players who could not work in Major League Baseball because they got called into service. And it's interesting because the Department of Defense right now, 1.195 million active personnel right now, 778,000 reserves that will all be veterans at one point in their life. The interesting number, and this is just relative, relatively new, but as of right now, 7% of U.S. Individuals are actual veterans. That is down from 18% in 1980. What does it say about how we continue to pour money not only into our military, and which I think is incredibly important? I think it's probably one of the most important things we spend from a budgetary standpoint every single year on our military to remain strong, and hopefully we never have to use that. But at the same time, we have less personnel to actually utilize those things that we're spending money on.
Yeah, that's such a major now, and it's interesting to me, development of all of these super weapon systems and technical, I marvel at the difference in our lifetime that we've seen the complete change of attitude it's really this ground operation that the Israelis are having to basically literally root out the Hamas terrorists who have spent years and years building this intricate underground tunnel system that spans about 30 miles underground. I mean, it's kind of hard to even conceive, but that's where the enemy is, you know, and they're also, as they move into Gaza City, encountering people in every building at every corner. It's urban warfare. It's completely different now. In World War II, or especially go back, and I'm fascinated by the Civil War, and it's not so much the military aspects of it, although being a football fanatic, you know, football, Tony, is fashioned after basically war. It's the battle for territory. It's trying to capture, you know, break in the plane to get into the end zone, which is the objective. It's you can go through, you can go on the ground and just try to grind your way along, or you can go to the air and attack aerially. You know, so Mike Leach, who you were very fond of, the late head coach at Mississippi State and several other schools, Mike Leach had a class he actually taught at Washington State University and had like 40,000 people sign up for it because it was like everybody wanted to be in Mike Leach's class. And it was football strategy based on military tactics. And I'd love to have sat in on a couple of those, because that's something that always fascinates me. But I think the point is now the traditional way of lining up, starting back in the Revolutionary War days, where you kept a tight line and you just marched toward your opponent. It took you like 10 minutes to load your weapon for the next shot. You know, that had to be awful, because you know, you shoot your shot and you're trying to load your weapon for your next one, hoping that a flying bullet doesn't find you as you stand there stationary. We've gotten a little bit more intricate than that with all the machinery and all the technology available. But look at these weapon systems. They are showering Israel right now, and Ukraine, the Russians, with, you know, countless rockets and bombs. And the United States has basically perfected and developed several systems that detect these missiles and shoot them down right out of the air. And, you know, all of it, it's so high tech now that there's so many opportunities there for brilliant people that have technical abilities. So even the kind of soldier, now we need computer people as much as we need fighting people.
Yeah, there's absolutely. And again, you know, we talked about the five Defense Department service branches that haven't met their quota. And one of those that actually has is Space Force, because I think a lot of kids are really into that, and it's sexy. And sure. it seems like it's certainly as many kids as are technically advanced and love playing computer games and things like that. It's super cool. You know, we always, and again, it's a generational situation, and we're remembering our veterans here. It's Veteran Day's coming up on Saturday here on the Kiefer and Curry Show. And you know, I make it a point, certainly, with my children, that if you ever see anyone in uniform, I don't care if they're reserve, I don't care what their situation is.
Yeah.
You must walk up to them, shake their hands, and say thank you for your service. And that goes for police officers, but I want you to talk just a little bit about, there's so many jobs out there that, quite frankly, we don't want. Whether it be first responders, police officers, firefighters, military, teachers, where, you know, you must put others before yourself. And, you know, I've heard your show. I'm honored and get a chance to listen and need to know every single week as you're recording it here on TKR. And I hear about your patriotic backbone and how you talk about how we must look after each other and think about others before ourselves. But talk just a little bit about not only the military is a necessary thing and something that we need to have in this country, but something that a lot of people, quite frankly, they come in and I remember my dad looking at me and I'm meeting with, you know, ROTC and meeting recruiters from the Army when I was in high school my freshman year, and he's like, you're not going to serve in the military, you're going to have a better life than that. And now I look at people that not only are veterans but spent their entire careers in the military, and there is there's a little juice behind that it makes me want what they have.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point that you make. I probably am the least inclined person. As much as I love my country and would love to have served it, it really doesn't line up the whole military thing. Where you know, I'm somebody who's pretty strong minded and want to kind of make my own decisions. And you forfeit that when you step onto a bus. I remember the scene in Forrest Gump, which is when he kind of the guy talks him into joining the military, and he's getting on the bus for the first time, and he asks the driver a question and immediately gets harangued. And, you know, I don't care what you want, maggot, you know, just get back there and sit down, find a seat and shut up, you know, basically. Yeah. And, you know, okay, we're going to be getting up at 5:30 for a 20-mile run. You know, I don't know. Now I think of Bill Murray in Stripes, where he goes, "Sergeant, the platoon is very tired today. I think we could use a couple hours extra sleep." And, you know, so I think I probably would have been that kind of soldier.
Yeah.
So I might not have lasted long. They might even line me up and shot me. But the real thing that the military is in this era, Tony, is you need to have it to be as strong and as stocked with individuals and as technologically advanced as possible. And it's like owning the most fabulous, let's just think of anything, fancy sports car that you never want to use. Yeah. You want to keep it parked in the garage. It needs to be at the ready. Our military needs to be at the ready, and we still need to continue to come up with everything sophisticated to support the parts of the world and our allies and our interests to preserve our country. But, you know, it's not something you want to deploy. You want to have that as the deterrent for other bad actors in the world to not want to mess with America or mess with our allies, because that is available. And I think Ronald Reagan coined the phrase, he wants peace through strength. And that is, I think, the goal. And I think that's probably what everybody should aspire to. You know, I get so frustrated. A couple of years ago, before a baseball All-Star game, they had a big tribute to the military with the gigantic flag that covered the from each corner of the wall till the entire infield, being held by hundreds of people, the flyovers. And a sports writer the next day wrote, you know, all this military stuff makes me uncomfortable. Why do we continue to have to do that? Well, I'm just going to say it, jackass. The reason that we do need to do that is because, again, we need to portray the image of ultimate strength and willingness to do what's necessary to protect the innocent and to counter evil and ambitious agendas of people that want to do harm to others. And it's entirely necessary for us to have that peace through strength.
It goes from Hamas, should I say, it goes to the Nazis. You talk about the propaganda that we see. I mean, why do you think they have military parades in Russia? They put these huge rockets on the back of flatbeds, and you hope you never need to see them. But I mean, propaganda works in warfare, and to see that, it scares the hell out of you. So that is spot on. Hey, great show, my friend. Another great show going on this weekend, 10:30 to 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. It will be week 11 of college football, and not to shy away from self gratification and talking about
We do, but let it rip.
We got Alabama, Kentucky, we got Michigan, Penn State, we got Utah, Washington, Tennessee, Missouri, UAB, Navy, Auburn's taking on Arkansas, an interesting game there. You got USC, Oregon. It's going to be maybe one of our biggest and best shows this weekend on ABC 3340 from 10:30 to 11. It's called The Starting Lineup with Kip and Tony. We got a monster weekend of college football. It looks like we'll separate the boys from the men this weekend. So we're looking forward to that.
We are indeed. And it's great to be on that show. And Proud to be an American and proud to be in cahoots with the great Tony Curry on so many fantastic shows. And I hope everybody out there is enjoying it as much as we enjoy doing them.
Till next week, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Tony. Thank you. God bless America.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.